Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Yes, indeed, the Catholic Man Show. Welcome, one and all. I am Adam Minahan, co-host, sitting here. I'm not even standing this time. I'm sitting. I'm a little low on energy. It's been a tough week.
It's also pretty late.
It is very late. Yeah. It is a little late. I'm here with David Niles. Dave, this is late. It's actually the almost latest we could possibly record it for the week.
Yeah. For the week and for the day.
Yes, both. We have to have this in by Tuesday at midnight.
We got deadlines too, guys.
Yep. And it is Tuesday after 9 p.m. It's been a rough week. We normally do it over the weekend, but I caught a stomach bug, then Dave caught a stomach bug, and it's just been tough.
That was brutal.
It was a brutal stomach bug.
I don't think I've ever been that sick.
It's been really tough.
Really raised the bar for me.
So anyway, we are doing this late, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to have a lot of fun, at least. I don't know about you guys. I don't know what you guys are going to be doing, but I'm going to have fun.
Since we like to do firsts here on the Catholic Man Show, and I am doing a first right now. I am currently recording with a hat on.
I've done it many
yeah,
times.
Yeah, you have. I've never done it. It's kind of weird. It's different because you just don't feel the headphones.
But you don't wear a hat very often.
I do. Not as much as you do.
You hardly wear a hat. And I wear a hat a lot.
I wear a hat more for utilitarian reasons than for stylish reasons.
Well, your hair, you don't fix your hair. So
I have very short hair.
So it doesn't matter. Like, I wear a hat a lot of times because, like, I don't want to fix my hair.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't have to worry about that. I wear a hat when I mow, when right. I golf, if I'm going to the lake.
Right. I wear a hat a lot more than that. So that's what I'm saying. Like,
Yeah.
Anyway, what kind of hat are you wearing, Dave?
Good question, Adam. I'm wearing the brand spanking new Catholic Man Show hat, logo hat. It's amazing. And if you are hearing this, it's for sale right now. This hat that I have on is black with white. Is it white stitching?
Yes. Embroidery.
Embroidery, yeah. So with a white embroidered Catholic Man Show logo on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good looking hat.
Yes.
It's a man's hat.
Where can they get it, Dave? Let me tell you. Because
okay.
I'm not sure if you remember.
Well, you haven't told me yet, actually.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of remembering.
You can get it at jmjcat3.com.
JMJCAT3. C-A-T. 3. Uh-huh. The number 3.
The number 3. So it's like Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Catholic, 3 for the Trinity.
Boom. That's a Catholic website for you.
Yeah. .com. JMJCAT3.com.
.com.
You can go over there. Our buddy Sergio made these hats for us. We have a limited number. Very limited number.
So go and get them immediately.
Yeah, they're $24.99. But it's going to be open to the Council of Man first.
Yes.
Dave, what's the Council of Man?
In fact, it has been already open to the Council of Man. By the time you're hearing this, they have already had a first shot at these hats. The Council of Man is a group of men, and we just hit 100 members this week.
On our Facebook page.
On our Facebook page, yeah. So there's actually more than 100 members of the Council of Man, but not all of them have Facebook. But most of them do. And the Council.
We're looking at you, Blake Berger.
It's a group of men who want to support the show, and they do so by donating $10 a month. which is tax deductible. You will receive tax receipts at the end of the year. And as a thank you for supporting the show, we do a couple. We do several things for you. The first thing we do is we send you one of our amazing Glencairn glasses, which also have our logo on it, laser etched with lasers.
Mm-hmm. What's a Glencairn glass?
A Glencairn. Good question, man. You have a lot of good questions today. A Glencairn glass is a glass designed by science to be perfect at drinking whiskey. So if you want to be perfect at drinking whiskey, you got to get one of these glasses. You can get them elsewhere, but they're not going to have the logo with
not going to be as manly.
Not going to be the lasered glass with right. the Man Show logo.
Right.
Dishwasher safe, okay? Because it's for men.
Yeah.
So we send you one of those as a thank you. And then you are also invited to participate in our private Facebook group where all things manly happen. Another perk we were able to offer to the Council of Man this year was free camping admission, which is otherwise $40 if you're going to come camping with us this weekend. In fact, if you're listening to this live on the radio, we're camping right now.
Right.
Out at the Clear Creek Abbey.
Yes.
Chilling with some monks, just doing dude stuff. Just letting a man be free in the wild.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Like men are supposed to be.
Don't bother me.
Don't fence me in.
No.
No.
Because my cell phone's going to be so far away.
I need the wide open spaces that I love.
I'm so pumped.
Yeah. So anyway, we got to get to the drink.
There's a lot of things
because
we got to cover.
We could keep talking about the Council of Man for a long time.
Just go to thecatholicmancho.com and you can go find that
and
there.
And you can sign up to support us and we can be best friends.
And there's other things that we can do besides like the camp out and other things. Anyway, okay. So Dave, today, what are the three things we do every episode, Dave?
Well, the three things we do are open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. Today we'll be drinking a whiskey from Cleveland Whiskey. I was very excited to receive this in the mail. I have been looking for this whiskey for a long time because it's very unique among the whiskeys. The second thing we do is highlight a man gear of some kind, talk about its manliness and why it's cool. The third thing we do is discuss a topic.
Mm-hmm.
All, of course, from a man's perspective, I just don't
get Catholic man. You always forget man. Catholic.
This is the Catholic Man Show.
Right. I just wanted to. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's a good point. Good point. But I just, the only kind of perspective I have is a man's perspective.
Yeah.
So that's
because
what we do.
Catholic.
And this is the Catholic Man Show.
Okay. So a while back ago, you said, hey, if anybody knows anybody from Cleveland Whiskey, give me a shout.
Yeah. I had been
Reach
trying
out.
To find it. Every liquor store I went into.
And lo and behold.
And then someone. Brandon Conley hit me up on Facebook and he's like, hey, I work for Cleveland Whiskey. I'm going to send you a bottle. And I was like, hey, that's awesome.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah. Okay. So
he's the distillery operations is what he is.
Yes. So there is some debate about whether or not Cleveland Whiskey is technically whiskey. Some people say yes. Some people say no. I really think that the honest definition of whiskey is that, no, this is not a whiskey. You can then later ask yourself, who cares?
It follows up very quickly with, who cares?
Right. It tastes like whiskey, smells like whiskey, and looks like whiskey. But technically speaking, a whiskey needs to be aged in a barrel for 2 years at a minimum. And this is aged for only...
Is that sure? Are you sure on that?
I'm fairly positive.
I don't feel like that's true. But
this, however, is aged in an oak barrel for only 30 days. Okay, so they have also partnered with our friend Science.
I'm reading their bottle right now.
Let's pour some of this.
Hold on. I want to read this.
I'm thirsty.
It says, if we are branded as heretics, we passionately embrace the label. No excuses. That's what it says. So anyway, so this is a black cherry bourbon whiskey is what it's a bourbon whiskey finished with black cherry wood.
Right. Okay. And so that's also unique. You cannot find, I challenge you to find a black cherry whiskey because the reason is you can't make a barrel.
Well, they can do it, but it's like infused flavors.
Yeah. And
it's
that's
not,
cheating.
Yeah.
And that's stupid.
It's not wood. It's not black cherry wood. It's flavor.
Yeah. They flavor it. With black cherries. Now, right. You could have black cherries in the brew, but this is, they actually use the black cherry wood.
Right.
But the thing is, you can't make a barrel out of cherry wood. It's too soft. And so
Let's drink real quick.
It would leak.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus. Okay, so the color is a darker caramel color.
It's an amber.
Yeah. Let's see. It says that using carefully selected transformative wood.
Transformative. Is that the word?
Transformative. Yes. Yeah. Our spirits are finished with an advanced pressured and oxidation process, which adds to a series of flavors and aromas never before experienced in traditional whiskeys.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if we're gonna have time to get through this, but I want to discuss the science of what they're doing here to create this beverage.
Go.
Whiskey is made over time, traditionally, by sitting in a barrel. And then as the seasons progress, it gets warmer and colder. And when it gets cold and warm, the whiskey... So when it heats up, the whiskey expands and goes into the wood. And then when the winter comes, it contracts and it is drawn back out of the wood. And it's this process of going through the wood, actually getting into the grains and coming out. It purifies the whiskey into a refined beverage. So mm-hmm. that's why the longer aged whiskeys are smoother mm-hmm. And typically more refined. Mm-hmm. So if you can't get the whiskey into the wood, it's not gonna become whiskey. You know, you start off with this very high alcohol, just distilled liquor almost, and you end up after this process getting whiskey. We're gonna talk more about this. Because I want to talk about what they're doing.
Okay, so we're gonna leak this segment into the next one.
Yes.
The man drink is going further past the 12-minute mark.
It can be done.
Hang on. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here in studio with my best friend, Adam Minahan, and we're drinking some Cleveland whiskey, okay? We were just talking about the science of what they're doing here. It's really a brilliant idea. And when I say what they're doing here, I mean what the guys over at Cleveland Whiskey are doing to create this man beverage that they have sent to us ever so generously. What they're doing is they're taking different wood and essentially they're forcing the whiskey into the wood with a like pressurized piece of equipment. And so they force the whiskey to go in. They're like, hey, whiskey, we don't get time for you.
Can't take the whiskey to the wood. You bring the wood to the whiskey.
Ain't nobody got time for that. And so by this process of just like, get in there. Get in the wood.
Right.
Get in the wood.
Right.
Doing that a few times. It has a way of filtering out the whiskey. And there's actually toxins, or you can call them toxins. There's things in whiskey when it's distilled mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. cause a hangover. So if you get a really nice whiskey that's been aged for many, 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 many years, you will not get as hungover on a cheap as you will on a cheap whiskey. Okay. And by forcing the whiskey through, you know, it's the same, they can achieve essentially the same effect. And then after they're done, it's, you know, the whiskey has already got the color of the wood that they've been using. They drop it in a barrel mm-hmm. for about 30 days. At least that was the process the last time I watched their YouTube videos.
Okay.
You know, they're still a new company. Mm-hmm. So I think they're tweaking their process
things
a lot.
As they go.
Yeah. Seeing what works, what doesn't. But that's essentially the process as I understood it. So because they age it for 30 days and not 2 years, technically, I think it's not a whiskey. I could be wrong about that. But even if it's not a whiskey, once again, I say, who cares?
Right.
Because it's you would have no idea
right.
that it wasn't, you know, like, you know, they made up this rule 1,000, 2,000, 8,000, 10,000 years ago, whenever whiskey was invented. That, you got to leave it in there for at least 2 years. Otherwise, it's just not good enough to call it whiskey. You know, that's why the 2 year rule came about. Anyway,
you can go to clevelandwhiskey.com to check it out.
Yes. Yes.
Clevelandwhiskey.com.
And so, like I said, it was interesting because they're using woods that you can't age whiskey in.
Right.
except by this process that where they do it. That being said, when you drink it, you can tell that it's not an aged. It hasn't been aged for 10 years, you know, or, you know, 15 years or 20 years, whatever long you're used to. You can kind of tell that it's a little bit more on the raw side. Do you think, is that a fair way to?
Raw is good. Yeah. I like it because it has that cherry wood taste. So it's not,
it is. It's a very woody. Like, you can really taste the wood in the whiskey.
Yeah, because it's not like a cherry, like an artificial cherry poppet type of flavor. You know, it's not like a cherry vodka that you drink.
Right.
You know,
yeah, it's
like
not a
this
fake,
doesn't taste like cherry.
It's not a fake flavor.
No, it's not at all a fake flavor. So I do enjoy that because it's just like I said, it's unique. I haven't had something like that before.
Yeah. And many whiskeys, you know, especially cheaper ones, will actually dye their whiskey. Cleveland whiskey uses they don't use any dye. So
no,
like
there's no artificial flavors or colors.
Rich color.
Yeah. No artificial colors or flavors.
And this is all from the wood.
Made in the US of A.
Yeah. So I think this is really, really an interesting way. We talked about whiskey sticks in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just really interesting because it's like an amped up
whiskey stick
version of a whiskey stick.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's
like
pretty cool.
It's like the whole whiskey's made off of a whiskey stick, kind of.
So, Brandon, cheers to you, man.
Yeah, cheers to Brandon.
And Dave's gonna give you an impromptu cheers.
May you enjoy much success in all of your business. You are a blessing to the man beverage community.
And may the angel's share be plentiful.
No, that means you lose all the alcohol.
That's right. Be little, yeah. Yeah, because that means he didn't get near as much. He yields a lot less.
Right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Plus, I think their angel share...
That's
angel
why you
share,
did impromptu cheers and not me.
The angel share is going to be really, really small because it's only aged for 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay, but we got to get to the man gear.
Yeah, because that's...
We were halfway through the second segment.
This is typically what we do.
I know. Ah, the man gear.
Yeah.
Okay. You do. You introduce the man gear, even though it's my idea.
You know, every man needs a good lawn chair. A wise philosopher once said that in college.
Eddie.
My buddy Eddie. So the man gear today is a camping chair, lawn chair. And the reason why is many fold.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. It is manyfold. One, we're obviously going camping. We've been talking about this, I don't know, for 6 months.
Camping!
Did you guys know that we're going camping?
We are.
So you got to have a good chair.
Right now we're camping.
Yeah. And then also, as a dad, there's many uses to have a fold-out chair.
Yeah. Lawn chair, camping chair.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I don't know what people call it. But, you know, people in the Northeast, they don't even call it a weed eater. It's a weed whacker.
I know.
So who knows? Who knows what people in other parts of the country...
Who knows what David Bates is going to call this?
Oh, my gosh.
Those English guys.
Yeah.
There's no telling what they're going to call it.
Oh, you mean a collapsing chair?
But, yeah, so, like, you know, as a Catholic dad, you're going to need one for, you know, your kids' sporting events.
Yeah, yeah. You go to a soccer game.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, there's a concert. You go to a concert.
Or you're just, like, drinking in the parking lot. You never know when you're just going to need a lawn chair.
Right.
There are two things that are in the back of my car all the time. My golf clubs and a lawn chair. If someone breaks into my car and steals my golf clubs, I'm going to be so mad. Have to keep a tire iron back. I have a tire iron too, but...
You know, so there's a cheap lawn chair that you can get. Like, you know, Academy like has some cheap lawn chairs for like $7.99.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
cheap.
If it not for Academy, these camping chairs are expensive. Like,
yeah,
you can
man.
Pay $30 what turns out to be a cheap, worthless chair.
Yeah. I went to Bass Pro twice this week and was looking at some. There's some for like, you know, $80, $90, $100.
And you just feel it and you like try to unfold it and it like jams and you can just tell like this thing's a piece of crap.
Right. Yeah.
You can pay a lot for a bad lawn chair.
Yeah. No, I agree. But now they have ones like they have ones that have the ottoman that comes out.
Yeah, dude.
They have ones that pops a pop-up shade one.
Dude, last year
Shark Tank had one.
At 40 Days for Life.
Okay.
Someone had one that they had left out there, like for people to sit in, that had hydraulics on the back two legs. And it would rock.
Yeah, I've seen
and
that one.
Oh my gosh. It was the most comfortable thing because you just sit there and you just
I've seen that one.
Natural, you know, like trying to sit on an exercise ball and not bounce.
Right.
Cannot be done.
Right.
Okay.
You sit on a rocking chair and try not to rock.
Exactly.
Right.
And it even had a nice squeak to it.
Oh, nice.
You know, it was like squeak, squeak. And so I just sat there praying my rosary, like squeaking in that chair. It was awesome.
Dude, do you watch Shark Tank?
Sometimes.
My wife.
I just don't watch really much TV.
Yeah, I don't either. Every once in a while. Like,
I just cut the cord, dude.
You finally did? I'm like 2 years in.
I've got Netflix and Amazon Prime.
That's what I've been doing. But you know, Haley and I used to watch The Office all the time. I mean, for like, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, you don't need TV to do that.
We like watch The Office every night. You know, like at least one episode.
Is this about a lawn chair?
Yes.
Okay.
Shark Tank. They had one. And a guy came out with a lawn chair that was like a port, like it unfolded and it became like a rain, like if you get caught in the rain.
Sweet.
And so it's like a lawn chair and it's a little like hut almost that you have. That's even if it's directional rain or anything like that, it'd be dry.
Yeah. So, at our family reunion, my Aunt Carol and Uncle Neville, they have these aluminum ones, you know, so they're aluminum, obviously higher quality. And it's like nice thick aluminum that are nice, these armrests, and they're just padded and you sit in them. And I don't know if the word ergonomic was, you know, like in their marketing, if they're made to be that way, but it just cups you. It's like just sitting there holding you in its hands. And it's amazing. You get in that chair and you're like, I'm not getting out. This is good. So, but the rocking chair, my mom got one. She has one at home now because she was also so inspired, and it was I think $50. So you can pay $30 for a one that just should be thrown in the garbage,
right?
Or you can pay $50 for
a really
the
nice
best
one
I've ever sat in.
Yeah,
and I'm sure if you go and pay $100, $150, you can get some sweet camping chairs.
Bass Pro Shop has some really nice, and Cabela's has some really nice ones.
Cabela's has a lot of cool stuff. I wish we had a Cabela's here in Tulsa.
I know, that'd be cool.
My camping kitchen. It's from Cabela's.
Oh, is it really?
It was ordered.
Nice.
Ordered online.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, the camping chair, like, I said this as a joke earlier, but I'm serious. If you get a really, really nice one, you can even pull that bad boy up to the kitchen table. You know, and I don't mean all the time, but if you have company over, you know, there's always that situation where we run out of chairs.
Yeah.
You know, and when you run out of chairs, sure, get out the camping chair and, you know, nobody's going to judge. At least if they do, they're not real friends. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know what you're saying.
I would have no shame in pulling up a nice camping chair to the dinner table.
What about a cheap camping chair?
Oh, I'd have shame in that.
You'd have shame?
But I have shame in sitting one of those for any reason at all.
Well,
you got to do what you got to do. I get it, okay? If someone offers you a chair...
I'm not... Yeah, you can't sit in my chair this weekend.
Don't judge the chair you're given, okay?
Yeah.
Something like a gift horse in the mouth. Similar things.
Dave, what are we talking about this episode? What's the man topic?
Dude, you have to wait and find out.
All right, hang in there. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Brandon Conley. Catholic Man Show, cask strength Catholic content in a 24-minute period. We are now at the man topic. That is what we're at.
Indeed we are, sir.
I
was just trying to replay in my head what you said with cask drink.
It was like a whiskey pun or whiskey innuendo.
Are you trying to say alliteration?
Alliteration.
Like where it starts with the same letter?
No.
What are you trying to say? Adam, what are you saying?
Cask strength, Catholic.
Oh, cask strength. I thought you said cask drink.
No, cask strength. Gotcha. Catholic content.
Gotcha. Maybe I should turn my headphones up.
Yes. You old man. Dave, what's our topic today?
Okay, we're talking about virtue.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. If you haven't figured out that theme, that's what we do here on the Catholic Man Show. We hope to have one someday. A virtue, that is. And this topic was inspired from a resource given to us by our buddy, Ken Henderson, at our most recent Pint and Cross Men's Club meeting that, of course, we also are big sponsors of here on the Catholic Man Show. We did a whole episode about it. So that's a while back.
That was a long time ago.
I don't even know what episode that would be, but start from the beginning.
Maybe 11?
Yeah, I mean, it would be early on.
I don't know what that was.
And so we're going to upload this to the Council of Man. We talked about the Council of Man. Another one of the things about it is that we have a database that we're going to start uploading resources to for other people, other men, to go and start their own pipe, pint, and cross
club. If you're in
club.
The Council of Man.
Yeah, so if you're in the part of the council, you'll get access to these resources.
Can I also interject something that is totally off topic?
I will allow it for a small fee.
Okay. Really fast. The Fisher's Net Awards are coming out. Like,
nomination. Yeah.
I just want to plug us really fast. Like, if you like our show, the Fisher's Net Awards for nominations of the best podcast is now available. So you can go over there. You can just Google them, Fisher's Net Awards, and their website
pops up.
And
nominate the Catholic Man Show. Good idea. Great idea,
Adam. It's like the Oscars for Catholic media.
Except the Oscars is stupid.
Yeah, the Oscars is so dumb.
I don't even know why they do that. Who cares?
I don't know.
I didn't get to vote. They don't let actual people. You know what they should do is they should vote by ticket sales. That should get the Oscar. I mean, that's probably not the best movie, really. But,
right.
Like, who cares what those people think? The judges. Who are those? I don't even know who they are. Does anybody care who they are? Or care what they think about movies? I've seen them pick some stupid movies.
I wasn't even...
Meanwhile, Iron Man never won Best Picture.
Or The Passion of the Christ.
That was a sweet movie.
How did that not...
Or it was a good movie. I don't know if it was sweet. It was intense.
Yeah.
It was passionate.
Okay, so we're talking about...
You did this.
I know, but I'm really good at getting us back on track.
Okay.
You normally are the one that gets us off track. I'm normally the one that brings us back. I'm going to bring us back.
This is a waste of time. Okay. So if you join the Council of Man, you can get access to these resources that we're going to make available. The Pipe, Pint, and Cross Club is a great meeting for men to get together. You smoke a pipe or a cigar, you drink a beer, and you discuss men's spirituality, just kind of whatever you want to talk about. And these resources are great. Tools to guide a discussion. Anyway,
we're talking about natural virtue versus supernatural virtue.
Yes.
Finally.
And what's the difference? What's that mean?
It's taken 28 minutes for us to get to that.
What does that mean? So this is from, it's entitled Patience and Humility. So naturally, you might think that I wrote this, but I didn't.
It would be a fair assumption.
It would be fair. In all humility, that would be a fair assumption for you to make. But this was written by an archbishop. How do you think you say this archbishop's
last name? Dude, I was waiting for you to try to... Yeah, I was trying to wait for you.
I got his first name, William. Archbishop William.
Ulathorn.
Ulathorn.
Ulathorn, Ulathorn.
Ulathorn. Is he American? I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, but in here, totally blew my mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did like this conversation that we had.
Yeah.
So let's start out. Let's lay the baseline.
Okay, go ahead.
The natural, what is a natural virtue and what is a supernatural virtue?
Okay, well, he kind of talks about it in here. He didn't really give a precise definition.
Okay, so, hold on. So what's a virtue?
Let me sum up. The virtue is a habit of doing good.
Okay.
Some type.
What would be a natural virtue?
A natural virtue would also be a habit of doing good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they both are habits. Okay, so these are virtues. What we're going to be talking about, two good things, but one of them is supernatural and one of them is simply natural. One of them is, a meritorious act by the grace of God, to help you grow in the spiritual life, and the other is not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's take, he uses the example of benevolence. And I really like that one, because when I think of someone who's benevolent, that's one of the best that's one of the best things you could say about someone. I mean, to me, I don't have the definition of benevolence here, and it's not really important. But to me, someone who's benevolent is like, wow, you've really mastered the other virtues and are putting them all together in a fantastic way. You know,
a virtue stew.
Ooh, that would be good. We should Catholic Man Show cookbook. Right?
Haley, help me.
Yeah. Put together, assembled by our wives. Yeah. All right. We could have pictures in it of us like drinking beer in the background while our wives are.
No,
that's
no,
sexist.
No, no.
That's sexist. Never mind. That came out bad. Okay. Bad idea. All right. I get it. It's a bad idea. Okay. But benevolence.
Yes.
A man could be benevolent. Simply by a natural virtue or a supernatural virtue. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. A supernatural virtue has charity as its motive. Mm-hmm. Or another way to say it, love of God mm-hmm. as its motive. So someone could practice, let's say generosity, because I think generosity is a simpler...
Can I give one?
Sure.
Because I was thinking of it about this. Like.
Okay.
And here's what I thought. Here's what I thought of.
Okay.
Okay, so dieting. Dieting could be a virtue because it's a habit of doing the good. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body, you know, you're supposed to take care of your body.
Right.
So dieting is a good thing to do. It could be a virtuous thing to do mm-hmm. to take care of yourself, for your family, everything else. Fasting is basically the same thing as dieting,
mm-hmm.
yet you are offering it up for the love of God.
Like, let's say as your diet is you're cutting out all sweets.
Right.
And then your fast is I'm fasting from sweets.
Correct.
So you're
same
on the
example.
Out, from someone observing two people, they look the same.
Correct. So fasting would be a supernatural virtue because fasting would be because you're offering up a suffering for the love of God. You're doing the same thing. The ends are the same thing, but for the motives are two different things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great example because that's really it highlights the difference between the natural and the supernatural virtue. It can be taken, I think, a step further, and because really the problem with that analogy and all analogies are flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you're comparing two different virtues. Okay, so now let's take that, I like your analogy, one step further and say, I'm just going to use generosity because it's a very simple, mm-hmm. simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
Two men could have the virtue of generosity. And let's say they're both wealthy. The first man has the natural virtue of generosity. He gives because he thinks he's supposed to give. I can give. I have extra to give.
He needs a tax break.
Even if it's not selfish, I mean, because it's still a natural virtue. It's still a good thing he's doing.
Yeah. Tax breaks are a good thing.
Yeah, tax breaks are magnificent things.
Yeah.
I think tax breaks should be a virtue. In fact, I view it
who knows Pope Francis?
One of my duties, and it's like my vocation to help my clients at work pay as little taxes as possible.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway.
Render to Caesar only what's due to him.
Yeah, and not a cent more.
Right.
And if he passes a law that allows you to be able to render less, you have a duty to employ that law.
Okay, anyway, sorry.
I regress.
Okay.
The wealthy man, he gives just because he can, you know, and like, all right, yeah, you need money. Here's some money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't do it because he loves God.
Right.
So it's a natural virtue. It's still a good thing. He has the habit of doing it. He regularly gives to the poor.
Right.
He just says, yeah, here you go. I'm going to help you. I've helped you. I hope you're better. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, we're not talking about bad things here. But then the next man, because he loves God and because of his love of God, that pours out into a love of neighbor. He gives from a different place in his heart. You see what I'm saying? It's all about the intention.
This is the proficient versus the perfect.
Possibly. You would have to explain that.
This is like, you know, the proficient is the guy who you're talking about, the generous guy that it's a good thing. Uh-huh. And he's just giving the money. That's proficient. The perfect is who you're called to be, mm-hmm. which is, you know, like as we've talked in a previous episode.
Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Yeah.
Be who you're called to be and do it out of the love of God.
Yeah.
So
is this like, does St. Thomas Aquinas talk about this or something? It sounds awfully, I mean, are you making this, are you just making those terms up or is this something that you know about?
No.
Do you have knowledge?
I have knowledge of, I have knowledge of.
I know things.
I know
okay.
things. I drink whiskey and I know things. Yeah. When we get back.
I don't really know anything, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
They did not leave the light on.
We're on the Lord's team.
I'm really sorry, guys.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here drinking Cleveland whiskey, Cleveland Underground. Is that the name of this particular? Is this particular? It's just called bourbon whiskey finished with black cherry wood. Do you think that's the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
Did it win an award? Is this an award on here? Oh no, that's just their seal. Yeah, okay. If golden seal, I was like, hey, is that a gold? Is that an award? Could win an award. Who knows? But Adam, you, right as we were, you know, going to the break there, you're talking about proficiency and perfection. Proficient and then the David? Is that the perfect? The perfect. People get those two confused a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, finish up what you were saying.
So there's a priest by the name of Father Chad Ripperger, and he has like a gazillion talks, and I can't even name which talk that I heard this off of.
Because, gazillion is just a rough number.
Right.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
And all of his stuff is like very dense, and so it's very hard to even pull exactly what he's saying.
It's also captivating.
Yes. Anyway, he mentioned something about like the proficient versus the perfect, and the proficient is a guy who does the good, but not for the love of God, and the perfect is the guy who does the good, but for the love of God. Two people doing the exact same thing. One is proficient. One is perfect.
Right. Okay. And so, it's possible that in the beginning. In the beginning life of growth in virtue, you know, as men, this is our goal. This is our call. This is our vocation to grow in virtue. And, you know, the virtues particularly.
Well, because as you grow in virtue, you grow in holiness.
Yeah, exactly. We're all called to a life of holiness. I mean, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
Correct.
What are you doing with your life if you're not trying to grow in virtue? Whatever it is, it's wrong. So it's possible that in the beginning, you do grow in the natural virtue first. You know, that you simply develop the habit, and then only later on, as you begin to perfect it, do you realize you do this not because it's the right thing to do.
That's absolutely the case, because, and you can take even, I can take myself as an example.
As a perfect example.
As a David example.
Yeah.
I can take Adam as a David example. For chastity, as you increase in the virtue of chastity and decrease in the vice of lust.
Yeah.
As you grow in chastity, your eyes become opened wider and you see the more beauty of chastity and you see even things that you wouldn't see otherwise as you're continually growing. And it's hard. So each step is hard in growing in chastity or any virtue is very hard and arduous, but each step you grow a little bit more and it becomes more of a habit. And as you continue growing and as you continue doing that, your disposition becomes easier.
Right.
And so as it becomes easier and easier, your eyes become open and you realize something that I didn't realize back in college that I was doing something, you know, that this is even a sin. I didn't even realize this was a sin. Now I realize that it's a sin only because I've been growing in virtue.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So you can see that as a supernatural, from a natural virtue to a supernatural virtue, the same example, because as you're growing in natural virtue, which is a good, natural virtue is good. Mm-hmm. As you're growing in that virtue, what is that doing? It's only pointing you towards truth. It's only pointing you towards love, which is God. So as you're growing in the natural virtue, your eyes become more open. You're open to the truth and love of what Christ is, and you realize that, oh, I'm not doing this for my neighbor. I'm not doing this for myself, but I'm doing this for my neighbor out of the love of Christ, or I'm doing this right. for myself out of the love of Christ.
Yes.
I don't know if that made sense.
I think it made sense. That's exactly what I was thinking. Archbishop William
Ullathorne
discusses in here the object of a virtue. He says the object of a virtue is that upon which or towards which it is exercised. The object of faith, for example, is the invisible truth revealed to us by God. And he says there are five distinct elements. He says the object of the virtue, the motive, the law, the decision, and then the action. So let's say generosity or even chastity. We can use chastity as an example. You could begin to grow in the natural virtue of chastity. But really, what's the reason you're growing in it? It's because you want to be a good person. Okay. And if that's, you know, if that's the motivation, if that's a motivation that is helping you to grow in the virtue, then that's good. But it's important that the natural virtue will get you nowhere in the end. Okay. Because, if you have not love, you are a resounding gong and a clashing cymbal. Says St. Paul. Okay. Right. So that's
smart dude.
He's pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference between a natural virtue and a supernatural virtue is that love is the motive behind it. Okay. So for the natural virtue of chastity, I am the motive behind it. Mm-hmm. I want to be a good person. I want to do what is right. Mm-hmm. And I know even as a Catholic, I says the church tells me this is what's right. Okay, so I'm going to do it because I want to be good. Mm-hmm. So it's a selfish reason to grow in virtue. I'd still rather someone do that because in the end, it's still good. You're not committing mortal sin now. Okay,
right. So that's and God can use that.
Totally. And he will, because even by growing in these natural virtues, you're ripening your soul for his grace to act upon you. Okay. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's only a matter of time before you begin to progress, but you can't just look at your life and say, you know, like a Pharisee's and say, look, I'm great.
Right.
I follow all the laws, you know, like, because if you do not do them for love of God, mm-hmm. it is totally worthless. Okay. Mm-hmm. And as baptized Christians, we have the grace and the ability for our good works to be efficacious for ourselves and for others. Okay. So like fasting, that is power. There's power in it. Okay. When you offer yourself up.
So says scripture.
And thus saith me.
It's heresy.
Did it lightning just now?
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's just something to think about. And I had to think about a lot of this myself. Because there are many things that I have the habit of doing.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Like going to adoration. Uh-huh. You know, I have the habit of going to adoration. And it's easy, I think, to fall into this trap. This is just what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm signed up. It's my job to go to adoration. I mean, I signed up for this hour. I have to be here.
Right.
But that's not enough. I should go for the right reason.
Absolutely.
And often it's for, you know, I've found that it's as simple as having that attitude check and remembering. Mm.
Okay, so that was going to be my question.
Why I'm doing this.
So to break through from the natural virtue to the supernatural virtue, which is really just reorienting yourself to not love. It's not an inward thing, but it's an outward thing. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime. That's always our issue.
Exactly. It's inward versus outward. Mm-hmm. Okay. The natural virtue says, I want to benefit from this.
Right.
I want to grow. I want to do better. I want to earn heaven points.
That step from natural to supernatural.
Right. The supernatural virtue says, God, I don't care if I get nothing from this. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this not to gain myself anything.
I'm loving my neighbor because I love you. I'm loving my wife because I love you.
Okay. And I don't care if it causes backlash. You know, I don't care if they hate me for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this not for me. I'm doing it for you, God. Mm-hmm. And so that's the attitude that we have to have.
Right. So, and that's easy to say, but it's harder to do, especially whenever it's, yeah. especially when it's like you're down and out. So I think that the important thing is, especially whenever you're down, like, you know, when it just feels like you're just continually hitting this brick wall, or you're continually, things just seem to not go my way. You know, it's like, what's going on, Lord? You know, like, you know, I've lost my job. I'm sick. My kids are sick. You know, I've lost my mom. You know what? You know, all this stuff has happened. My car's broken down. You
right.
know,
yeah.
all this stuff. I think that it's important to orient yourself and say, okay, Lord, whatever is happening in my life, I pray that I have, like, that I receive the grace and I understand and I utilize the virtue that you're trying to sharpen in me
mm-hmm.
through this moment so that I may continue glorifying you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And when,
and that's tough to do.
Oh my gosh.
That is not
oh
like something I say that very.
That's like a huge understatement.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? It's impossible for a man. But it's only really through God's grace that you can, especially in those terrible moments when you're in a valley, like a deep, dark valley, you didn't even know a valley went this deep. You know, mm-hmm. if in those moments you can offer something up, that's impossible for man.
But I do think it's important to ask the Lord for whatever you're wanting me to learn from this, whatever you're trying to sharpen the virtue that I, you know, increase the virtue that that's happening right now,
mm-hmm.
that your will be done.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you don't, you could go through this valley and not gain anything from it.
Right. But if you can do, I mean, if you can remember to have that attitude check and just say, hey, God, I'm going to do this, even though this totally sucks right now, mm-hmm. I'm going to do it because I love you. That is, you are going to be just dumped on with graces. I mean, mm-hmm. even if you don't feel it, someday at your judgment, you will see this moment and
right.
you will see everything that you benefited or your family who benefited because of it.
Because
you know, it's incredible.
So that's, I think this is a tough subject and we're out of time, but I think that we've at least scratched the surface, at least for you to maybe learn more, go research a little bit more. Hopefully
yeah.
this kind of wet your whistle.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what's wet our whistle has been Cleveland whiskey, the bourbon whiskey finished in black cherry wood, given to us by Brandon Conley. We just talked about the lawn chair.
Camping chair.
I like lawn chair better.
That's okay.
We're gonna be camping anyway. And we talked about natural versus supernatural virtue. Not a bad episode.
Enough said.
It's late, but let's wrap it up.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.